everyone. Welcome to this wonderful episode of the Walk the Talk with Kim Show. I'm assuming it's going to be wonderful, but welcome today on this fine, beautiful day in Seattle. We have a lot going on today, so we are really going to jump right into this. But first, the Walk the Talk with Kim Show is sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation, a wealth of experience, and a kind, compassionate attitude from Pearson Law Firm. That is the Pearson Promise. I have a full house with me today. I've got three guests, and so we're going to cover two different nonprofits today. This is also a call-in show, so for those of you that have nonprofit organizations and event coming up, we have a number that you can call to let us know about that. It's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, it's 888-298-5569. We are going to be speaking with Tim Anderson. He's with an organization called Next Step Together. And I am really excited about this topic because it brings along a concept that I've been talking a lot about over the last year that I've been doing this program about dialectic. And we had the kind of theme going on with the Compassionate Listening Project. I think that you need to really stay tuned because after this first segment, we're going to bring Tim on and another gentleman by the name of Dan. And we're going to have, I think it's going to be a really deep, fun conversation. And the first segment, I'm really excited to have my friend Paula Mathiasi on with us today, as well as Chorfin Ng. And they are with the Eastside Cultural Navigator Program. And so we're going to bring them on and talk a little bit about what they're doing with their organization and some events coming up. So we're going to dive right in. We got so much going on. But first, I got to say hello to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a gorgeous
day. You're doing fast.
Day.
It's one of those days.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Okay, well, we got the energy going on today, so this will be great.
The sun has, I've determined the sun is actually throwing me off today. I'm the opposite of Superman. I actually get weaker when the sun comes out because I'm, you know,
lovely.
Irish.
It's nice to know. So you have to slather on the skin and take vitamin D.
It might be a little bit quirkier. There may be a couple glitches. I'm just warning you.
That just makes it more fun, I think.
Until this sun goes down. Or the clouds move in.
Then something happens to Eric. We won't talk about that.
Then it gets much smoother.
Nice.
But looking
forward
to the show today, for sure.
It's going to be a jam-packed one. So we're going to get started. Welcome to Chorfin Ng. Chor is the first name?
Yes.
Okay, and that's what we can call you?
Yeah.
Excellent. And Paula, and you are with the Eastside Cultural Navigator Program. What is that organization?
I'm representing CISC, Chinese Information and Service Center, and Eastside Cultural Navigator Program is a program that we partner with ERIC, the Eastside Refugee and Immigrants Coalition, and we partner with some local partners like Paula from Together Center is one of our partners. And another partner that we have is Bellevue Mini City Hall in Crossroad Mall.
And so you provide interpretive services for people that need...
We are like the yellow page for the human services.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so we do interpretation, we do referral, and any information that someone needs. You know, the uniqueness of this program is to serve the clients in a language or dialect that they're familiar or they understand, and from somebody who they can trust and understand the culture.
Mm-hmm. And so someone does not speak English would call your organization to find services? Is that what they would do? Is that why they would call you?
Not just that someone who don't speak English.
Uh-huh.
The person could, you know, be able to speak English, but just he or she doesn't understand or really familiar with the system of the new, you know, community that they just moved to. So
okay. And you work through your program, Paula, which is the Together Center.
Together Center is the Eastside Human Services campus. We were formerly known as Family Resource Center. We've been in operation for 20 years. There are 18 nonprofit health, housing, and human service agencies located on our campus. And our mission is to create access to services so people can find help when they need it. We, for many years, had identified a need, and we are members of ERIC, the Eastside Refugee and Immigrant Coalition, and we identified that we needed a program that would serve all agencies, many of the city and county funders got together and decided that a program needed to be created that was accessible by all agencies, all entities. So this program serves people, it serves agencies, it serves like schools, school districts, there are counselors tapping into the navigators to help mm-hmm. parents arrange parent-teacher conferences and know how to prepare, how to ask questions. New business, people trying to start a new business. There are many systems that you have to access mm-hmm. and work with to start a new business. So the navigators help people understand the city business license and what else is involved with that. Mm-hmm. And so...
Good. Tor, how many navigators do you have in the organization? How many are helping?
We have two Spanish-speaking navigators and one language of Indian, the mm-hmm. East Indian, and one Chinese-speaking navigator and one Russian. So total of five.
Interesting. And does that cover pretty much a lot of the demographic here, or are there a lot of languages that aren't necessarily covered?
No, there are just too many that we yeah. couldn't cover everything, but those are the capacity that we have at this moment.
And I'll bet you're busy.
Yes, very busy.
Unfortunately, this is a good time for organizations in that there's a lot of work to do, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people needing services.
You're right.
And are you finding that now, is this primarily targeted to immigrant populations or just anybody?
It's targeted toward anyone who needs assistance mm-hmm. Navigating systems. We've had grandparents who have family members working at Microsoft, you know, come and look for places to volunteer. So they serve anyone who has a cultural background and they need to understand this new place that they're
and
living.
I can see how there's a need just for people speaking English, for anybody to have a place that they can call if they are trying to find services that are available. And so your organization provides those services as well too. So you can call the Together Center or go to the website and find out
right.
what nonprofits are operating that can provide services. Mm-hmm. And I know in your facility, you've got lots of different nonprofit organizations that are housed right there.
We really do. We have, as I said, 18 agencies. Mm-hmm. At one point, we counted over 100 programs, and we don't count anymore. There's such a variation.
But of all different types
we're
of
a
programs.
Hub. We're definitely a hub.
Great.
And so having this program located on our campus really increases capacity for all the agencies who need translators or, mm-hmm. or someone to help with a client. And then... for volunteer programs, this organization also helps plug people into volunteer programs where someone who's bicultural, bilingual can help.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to volunteer, they can call you and you can give them some ideas of places that they can go volunteer.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And so what do you need? What does your organization need right now? Do you need more volunteer interpreters? Do you need more funding? I mean, what are some of the things that you need in your organization?
I think the two main things that we need now is, like you say, funding. And then the second would be, like, you know, support from the community, as in, like, you know, like more political, like, supporters when we ask, you know, funders or governments for fundings to keep this program running. And volunteers mm-hmm. is always something that every nonprofit, I would say, you know, would
right.
need. Yeah.
And so when you are looking for, so I'm assuming that your organization is funded by, yes, funding, but also grants and government things. Are you finding that's going to be an issue this coming year? Any funding issues that you can see?
Fortunately, we are good for these coming 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the problem is, like, we used to have extra funding from the Seattle Foundation
mm-hmm.
that was only good for 1 year, and then so the service hour was kind of cut back to before the foundation money. So, and like you say, you know, there are so much needs out there during this, you know, economy time, and
right.
and always we are always looking for extra fundings to kind of add on manpower to, you know, serve more people that who right. are in need.
So how does somebody get a hold of your organization if they have a need or if they want to volunteer or give to the organization?
They can call our office at 206-624-5633 or check out our website, www.cisc-seattle.org, or they can check out our blog at www.cisc-seattle.org. www.seattle.blogspot.com or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/CISC.Seattle.
I'm writing this down because I want to make sure that I get these links on my website. So you're going to have to update because I think I missed it. Okay. You said Facebook. You're under CISC?
Dot Seattle.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you have an event coming up?
Yeah, we have our annual fundraising event on June 4th. It'll be located at the Grand Hyatt Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a ballroom dinner fundraising event.
So food and wine and all that kind of good stuff. I love those events. Yeah. Those are so much fun. I really appreciate it. Good. And how's your organization doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. You can also access their program through our website at www.togethercenter.org. And they're listed under programs and the hours of operation for the navigators that are at Together Center are listed there and their phone numbers.
Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And thank you for letting us know. I mean, part of the reason why we do this show is so that we can get out to the community that there are lots of people doing incredible work out there that we don't even think about what they're doing. Never can even consider that there'd be a nonprofit organization doing interpretation services. But it's even more than that. You have to know what's going on in the community in order to get people connected to the right. That's a special skill. So thank you for doing that. And I appreciate having you both on the show.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. We are going to go take a break, but when we come back, we're going to have Tim Anderson on with Next Step Together. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor. Wednesday afternoons at 5, starting February 7th.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focus on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Hey, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. treat yourself to some luscious Vote Trevu. We have some incredible deals, including our portrait collar or neck cream for your necking needs. This month, the Tout Le Monde eye cream is only $10, and for the hostess, the Tarte Diamant Soufflé is only $7. For more information, go to www.votetrevu.com/justforfun, or click on the link from the Walk the Talk with Kim homepage. Again, that's www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. I have with me a guest today. It's Tim Anderson from Next Step Together. How you doing, Tim?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. I need to take a drink of water here. So while I'm doing that, I'm fascinated with what you're doing. So why don't you take it and let us know what is this? What are you doing? And help us understand. Then I'll jump back in.
Well, a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
right?
When I was a good little liberal college student trying to figure out, you know, how to save the world, I decided I should go to Africa, and off I went and lived in Zaire for 2.5 years and, you know, saw incredible poverty. Now it's the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
You know, they're still having challenges.
It's gotten worse. It's a fourth world country, a country that kind of gets written off by the industrial world and the first world. And I discovered there what I probably should have learned in college, and that is that the kinds of changes that we are going to have to make in order to create a world that's just and sustainable aren't simple or little. We can't just adjust the system, because the system has a momentum of its own that's not going to be just change itself. It doesn't want to change itself. It's not a person, you know, but it's got this monetary and sort of fiscal momentum that doesn't, you know, that just keeps going. And you can be very, you know, very, very rich and powerful people just say, you can't change it. These are rich and powerful people who really could change it, in my mind, but they have good reason to think that it's not changeable, because it hasn't changed, and it just keeps, in a way, getting worse in terms of the numbers of people who are dying of poverty and the amount of environmental damage that's being done by this system for no particular person's fault. So what I realized over the course of the next, 25 years of thinking about this and becoming a minister and a systems therapist and a social justice professional, was that we're going to have to build a movement that's really very big and very, very powerful. A movement of people. This is what Obama's been asking for, mm-hmm. really, from day one. And we don't have it. Our movement is huge, and it's doing all kinds of wonderful little things like the, what are they called? The little Lilliputians,
the Lilliputians.
The Lilliputians,
yes.
You know. And we're all doing our own little thing. And when the giant wants to get up and go, it just gets up and goes.
Right.
Because we don't tend to act together. And so for many years, I've been trying to figure out how could we, people who have basically the same mission, justice and sustainability, 1 million or 2 million organizations, you know, maybe a third, two thirds of the people on the planet really want things to run well and don't want people dying of poverty unnecessarily, right. Or to destroy the ecosystem, which is on its way to being destroyed, you know, in a way that won't be changeable, according to a lot of climate scientists. And so I've been thinking, and, you know, as a social justice minister and professional, how on earth are we ever going to get the movement to work together? And I've thought about it. We were trying to invent, Dan is one of the people who'll be on in a while. We sat around for months and years trying to, you know, basically invent something that was already invented. We found out about it later, mm-hmm. called sociocracy, mm-hmm. which is a form of governance that's really almost exactly like what a healthy mom does at home.
Explain that.
It's really just that simple. You already know how to do it. If you've ever been in a healthy small group, you know sociocracy. But over the course of 200 years, very smart people have been taking those rules that we already follow and making them clear enough so we can use them at any level, at any size of group. So mm-hmm. it's the same way in which a transistor radio operates on electrical principles, but those principles are no different than the way that the world electrical system, the whole grid on the planet, operates. There's no difference in the
Each
principles.
Each piece has its important piece that it does, and if allowed to do what it's intrinsically supposed to do, then everything works together. But if you have one different piece that's trying to force a system to do something it doesn't naturally want to do, that seems to be... It's a power thing, right? Because there's individuals that want to use the system for... their own purposes.
Well, there's individuals who are fitting into a role that people have been, that dictators and kings have been fit into forever. Mm-hmm. The deal is that 12,000 years ago, we became an agrarian culture. We started mm-hmm. to become agrarian. And, you know, humans, like every other animal on the planet, even insects, when they get to a certain size, critical mass, they want to leave because it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
If you live as a hunter-gatherer, which we did for 99.9% of our history as, you know, bipedal organisms, you want to just leave. Because 32 is the most that any particular small part of the planet, you know, 32 people is the most that it can sustain.
Mm-hmm.
So the land says, okay, you can't live anymore here. You have to leave. And so I think our instincts are telling us, look, there's more than 32 people here. Don't change a thing.
Mm.
Just stop thinking because you're alive. And when people don't like change in general, but when they're under pressure of death, which we, our instincts are telling us we are, our whole reptilian brain and probably a lot of our mammalian brain is saying, there's too many people. If you're alive, just kiss up
right.
to who's ever in charge because you're not dead yet.
Right.
And so we don't really think creatively, but the world has really changed. We can now actually sustain twice the number of people that we have on the planet now if we divided the resources in an intelligent way. I wouldn't recommend it. We should probably have a tenth.
Mm-hmm.
But we could do twice as many. And a lot of people know this, but they're just like, okay, let's not mess with it. But
right.
The right way to run the planet, the smart way, and I think everybody knows this, is the way that moms run a whole family,
mm-hmm.
which is basically nobody gets left behind. Everybody's consent matters. We share more or less equally, and you do what the mom says to do in general because she's on your side. She loves you. If you don't know what to do, trust the people like Nelson Mandela or
right.
Desmond Tutu or the Dalai Lama. You don't trust some guy who sort of worked his way through law school and managed to, you know, get enough money from so-and-so so he could kind of work his way up the system. You know, you mm-hmm. trust the people who care and love you the most. That's sociocratic. That's mm-hmm. the way that we all really want to live. But we don't know how to get from where we are now to there, and I don't know either.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I know what I'm lucky to have found out is the sort of missing link. How could we self-govern with the whole planet in a way that really works?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've been doing in Next Step Together the last 5 years since we basically stumbled onto sociocracy is figure, okay, how can we start doing things sociocratically? How can we find a meme or a set of memes, which is like little ideas, that people all over the planet can start living by? And the thing will just spread, you know, very, very quickly, virally that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of a think tank. There's maybe, you know, half a dozen or 30 of us, depending on, and we're all kind of just playing with this idea. We have 2,600 people on Facebook, and we have 3,500 people at nextsteptogether.net.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, there's just a few dozen of us kind of going, okay, let's come up with, should we start a business?
Mm-hmm.
Should we interview famous people on radio shows like this and get famous people that people already trust? You know, what does it look like to have
a TEDx kind of format, too?
Yeah,
but
we thought
instead
about
of for
that.
Technology, do it for...
Right. The fact of the matter is, I think that we have stumbled across the idea that mm-hmm. the movement and actually the whole world needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend just a whole lot of time going, gosh, we have this like magical being that nobody really has sort of thought out. They already know it, but they don't know they know it. How can we like take it to the next step? So I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah.
Where hopefully there's a few people listening and we're getting out an idea that I think is could change everything for the better. Even for the people who've got all the money and all the power now, we feel that we need their consent too. Because
right.
moms don't go, just because you're the powerful bully in the family, the mom doesn't go, I'm just going to kill that guy like the left has traditionally done to the right when they've come in power.
Right.
They always say, I love you too. How can we make you even happier? You don't get to have the gun that you stole out of your dad's closet and you're right. shooting the neighborhood cats anymore, Dick Cheney. But we do want you to be happy. We actually are on your side, and that's, I think,
yeah.
part of sociocracy that's really great. Everybody counts.
Yeah.
Everybody has got to be loved more.
You are, so what I do is I work in organizational psychology. So I work with systems thinking and with different mm-hmm. personality types and looking at how they all mingle together and
mm-hmm.
How the same structures have repeated themselves forever and ever and ever and ever. Can you think of a society in your studies and in your thinking that you think has gotten as close to this concept and idea that you're talking about? You know, I think of the Greeks, and you know, they still had their problems
sure.
too, but you look at Democrates. I mean, he was shunned for his ideas, and his ideas were very much what you're kind
like
of saying
this, yeah.
is, you know, and even, you know, Aristotle and those folks looked at what Democritus was doing. That was way too far over, you know, now you're messing with the power people and
right.
all of that kind of stuff. So how, any others that you can think of, any what you call sociocratic types of governments that...
All hunter-gatherer societies work this way.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some still on the planet. You know, if you are, say, a big bully and you live in a tribe that has, you know, 32 people or fewer, and you're group, you know, acting like a jerk, you know, you're raping or beating people, that isn't tolerated. They, you know, the shaman gets together with the moms and the warriors, and they, like in Zaire, where I used to live, in hunter-gatherer societies, essentially, are very primitive agricultural society. If you were crazy, they just tied you to a tree and they built a hut around you, and your family moved in with you. But, you know, they didn't kill you. They didn't throw you in the jail, because that doesn't, those things don't help.
Right.
And the mom, your mom's right there. She's not going to let that happen.
Right.
Right. Because her sister's married to the chief. And so you work it out as a big, healthy family. And, you know, when you're done, when they think they can trust you, they untie you from the tree for a while and see if you, you know, screw up.
I wonder how many people would be tied to trees in our society right now.
Well, there's,
and who
now
makes
we
that
have
decision,
locks,
right?
And we could put somebody on, you know, in a very healthy place with a lot of love around them. And, you know, we don't need jails. We need a lot more love.
Mm-hmm.
We might need jails for something extremely pathological in that. No, it might take a few generations to clear out. But,
to clear it out, yeah.
There's also places like Sweden. You know, people make a lot of fun of Sweden. But the fact is, there's essentially no poverty. They haven't gotten a hold of their multinationals. I mean, Volvo still oppresses people in the third world, but they take care of their own people. There's a social safety net there through which you cannot fall. There's nobody on the street begging. There's nobody who doesn't have health care. I mean, this is just basic. We could, one of the things that a lot of people don't know, and you can find these statistics on the United Nations websites, is that for one-third of what we spend in the world military, one-third, we can solve all of the problems on the planet that we know how to solve.
Interesting.
That doesn't include the planet-killing comets or AIDS or abortion, maybe, because that's a moral issue. But for one-third, just the military, I mean, that's probably about the same amount we spend on cosmetics, okay? Every single problem that has a price tag on it can be solved. And that's just it's a question of leadership and the movement, which is probably at least, you know, somewhere between 20 and 80% of the people on the planet want a just and sustainable world. All we have to say is now.
Exactly. So when we come back, I want to talk about why don't we? Because I think that's
question.
A, you know, that's, if we look at why it's not happening that way,
right,
we might be able to think of some things that we can do. We're also going to have Dan Kinsey, which is your partner in crime here.
Yeah.
That's going to change the world for the better, much to the chagrin of some. And we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on Alternative Talk, KKNW, AM 1150. Excellent.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hi, this is Kim Ariano. Nonprofits and charities get ready to howl. As the brainchild of two women from right here in our own backyards, FetchUpon.com is here to support all of us. From consumers and vendors to local charities and nonprofit organizations. Now, of course, ridiculous deals will be unleashed 5 days a week to curb your growing appetite for savings. Sundays, however, will be completely dedicated to promoting It's All for a Good Cause. Open to all organizations and associations looking for a new way to raise awareness and funding, It's All for a Good Cause is easy and completely free. Times are rough. So if you have an organization or charity that can use extra support and exposure, be sure to contact the FetchUpon team at FetchUpon.com. Don't have a charity or nonprofit to recommend? Get your good citizen cap ready, because FetchUpon.com offers its members a chance every week to make a difference. Ridiculous savings and the opportunity to give back? Don't let this opportunity go to the dogs. Sign up today for free by following the FetchUpon link on my homepage, www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Thank you. Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. You're always trying to mess me up with your music choices. I have no clue where you come from with these things.
It's a song about Sweden. We were talking about Sweden right before the break. All ties in.
You just try to mess me up, man. Oh, I adore you. Welcome. We've got Tim Anderson with us from Next Step Together, as well as Dan Kinsey's on the line. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. How are you, Kim?
Excellent. You guys have got me invigorated and really excited, so I'm so happy that you guys are on. So tell us a little bit about you. How did you get involved in this organization?
Oh, well, my friend Tim, it's sort of like a company of two, and we were often in circles, and we realized what that felt like to sit in a circle and be able to see everybody's face and to hear everybody's voice and what we would want to say in a place like that. It was like a different environment, and we just have a great time having, just musing, probably many of us are, like, on the sidelines, not fully expressing it, but just thinking, what is going on? What is this world we've come into? And just partly fascinated by the fact that there's a problem. It's kind of like a miracle.
Uh-huh.
And also knowing that we're here to do something about it. And there's lots of potential distractions to be entertained and to just kind of whistle away. But, more and more we want, something calls for us to get our feet down on the ground and actually do something with our lives before we check out.
And so, Dan, what's your background? What do you bring to this?
Well, I think it's interesting because normally in this world we might say like a resume. Like I work with social service population, and where I wanted to go with that was almost my astrological chart. I have a lot of Aquarian planets.
Does my daughter. You two would get along great. She's Aquarian.
And there's a sense that I can on the inside I have this great urge for this new world to come into being. And I would say, it's taken a long time because there's a part of me that wants to see and taste everything, but I think I come at it slightly as being on the margins and having sort of an artistic viewpoint. But what I mean by that is art as how it blends different things together. Like if we're right now in different camps and not talking to each other, we're not coordinated, we're like this glumpy little creature that hasn't pieced together yet. Artists are ones that might say, hey, here's where these two things fit together. Here's how it links, and here's how we can coordinate. And I think sociocracy is a lot like that because you're dealing with circles and how circles interlink and how they see each other. And not one, we live in a world where only one direction sees. It's like a one-way mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like the top tells the bottom, what's going on and what to do. And there's no feedback loop.
I think one of the challenges that we have is I hear what you're saying and I can see what you're talking about. But as with anything emotional, is putting that into a logical system of process is the challenge, right?
Yeah.
And so you guys you're looking at this concept and idea on how do we sit down and figure that piece out. And that's a process that's both frustrating, but at the same time, it's got so much potential. What have you come up with so far? What are some ideas you think that you've come up with as a group that kind of put into process what you're talking about, this community idea? I noticed when I looked at the website that there was focus on changing the dialogue within our political system infrastructure, which is right on.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that work, do you think?
Well, we didn't really, that was the question we were asking ourselves mm-hmm. for a long time. And I think when sociocracy, when we got hit with sociocracy, which we were trying to invent, we realized there is a system that's already set up. What they do is they create a series of, or they recognize that there's already a bunch of interrelated people. And they say, look, those are like circles, and those circles are intersecting with each other. So why don't you just recognize what's there and then start communicating with some level of equivalence, which means it's not the, there's nobody has more power than anybody else. And you want to get consent from everybody, which is exactly what a family does, a small, healthy right. group of people. Mm-hmm. And so what it would look like, I mean, this is just a really simple way of looking at it, but you can imagine everyone in the world in a gigantic circle. And then you ask them to get into groups of roughly eight, the people that they know and trust and love. So then you can imagine, so that's a giant circle with about with a bunch of circles of eight, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. And so each one of those circles of eight, so you and your friends would select two people who could represent you very, very well. And then they would go to another circle called a second circle. That the first one's called a friend or a first circle. The second circle is a second circle, and that's eight people, two people from each of four groups. And that process keeps going. You could divide the whole world this way or create a sort of a hierarchy, a non-power but still a hierarchy, like the nervous system, like mm-hmm. cybernetics is all about. Find the way that the human body or the bodies of animals work, and then try to emulate that through right. a systems approach. So, and you, in 16 levels of circles, you'd have the whole planet. So that at the very top of that, it, like in the brain, as it were, you'd have eight people representing everybody on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And those eight people's job would be to actually not rule over them or tell them what to do, but to do what they want to do, to represent their needs. And mm-hmm. that's exactly how the body works. And it's roughly the same amount of cells
mm-hmm.
as there are people. Actually, there's
yeah.
more cells in one person than there are people on the planet. But yeah. people are smarter than nerve cells, so we should be already doing this. Yeah. We just haven't taken that little tiny step towards sort of bringing us all into this, like, to act like one silly body works. I mean, a rat body works better than the human political, the body politic.
Right.
It really does.
Right.
I mean, it survives. We're 2/3 of us are going to die of poverty before the age of 40.
Mm.
And we may not, we may be already past the place where we can turn this climate disaster around.
Mm-hmm.
But a rat would just, you know, it's going to live a full life because it's cooperating with itself, like Dan says, sort of getting mm-hmm. all of us on more or less the same page, looking at least in the same direction. So this system where you've got your top circle and then your all the circles in between communicates with itself. So an idea is proposed, you know, how, what should we do next? I mean, you could imagine, you know, I like to say, Lech Walesa and, you know, Jimmy Carter and, I don't know, your favorite everyone's favorite person mm-hmm. is represented by somebody at the top circle or, you know, circles around them and communicating with them. What should we do next? And an idea comes up and we watch this discussion. Maybe it takes place every quarter in a stadium with a few hundred thousand people contributing and everybody watching on television or listening on their cell phones. And the idea might be, you know, I don't know what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. This is what I like.
You can't figure that out now.
It's mathematically impossible for
yes.
one person to think what two people could think come
exactly.
up with. Exactly. Because it's twice as smart. And imagine
right.
6.8 or 7 billion people thinking together
right.
how smart the idea might be. And then we would, and it would be have ideas, you know, and so the ideas would come out and we would argue with them. But in sociocracy, we're not interested in a support group. You know, this
right.
is just self-governance. It's like your mom going, where do you want to go spend Saturday?
Right.
I'm not interested in anything right. else. Just we have to make that decision. Get in the car. Let's go.
And I think that the you bring it back to the mom. I'm going to ground us brainiacs here for just a
yeah.
moment so
Good.
We haven't totally lost the audience. But I like your scenario of
mm-hmm.
of the mom because I think the piece that the mom brings into this that you can't, kind of what I was talking about, you know, how do you make it a process? A mom makes decisions totally in the moment based
mm-hmm.
on her intuition on what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really basing it a little bit on past experience. She can't base it on the future because you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I know that any person who is in touch with that intuitive side of them knows, like when I come on the radio show, I got a script. I never look at it because
right.
I know I'm going to go wherever you and I and Dan are going to go. That's the direction we're going to go,
yeah.
regardless of where we go with it. So if what I'm hearing hearing you say correctly in, you know, not to make this into a step one, get eight people together, but to kind of put this into a framework that might make sense. So you might have a group of eight people, you know, eight women or eight men and women, or what these people that are, you know, having these conversations and are wondering what they can do. Getting together and discussing, you know, let's look at our local community, you know. You are really connected into the healthcare piece of it because you volunteer on the hospital board, and you are really connected into the school district because you got kids that go to school and you're on the PTA. But you start to collectively create and paint a picture on how your community looks to your group. And then from there, the people that are intrinsically motivated more towards the different pieces can say, well, I'm going to go out and, you know, get on the school board. I'm going to go out and get into the hospital board. I'm going to go out and sit down and talk with my Republican or my Democratic candidate and have those discussions. And then what I learn, I'm going to bring back to the group. And then we can kind of build from there on what we should do. And is that kind of how it looks a little bit, actually putting a process to it or putting a concept to it?
Not so much, really. Okay. I mean, it's really quite, I mean, you want to jump in here, Dan?
No, go ahead.
I just want to give you, I can't see your face and get your cue. This is really quite different than anything that anyone's ever seen at a large scale, but you've seen it at a small scale. So let me just finish that little scenario. So imagine we're all in a stadium and somebody comes up with an idea. The ideas are shared with everyone if they're big ideas, if they're policy ideas. Operational decisions would be made, you know, by the person who's to whom it's delegated. But a policy decision is something that we all have to agree upon together. The whole family has to decide, are we going to allow smoking in the house or whatever, TV after whatever, 11 at p.m. So that you get everyone together, and if you have the proposal is I can smoke in the house, somebody either does or doesn't have what we call a niggle.
A niggle. Oh, I love it.
This John Buck and Gerard Hindenburg.
Explain a niggle, and then we have to go to the break, unfortunately.
A niggle is... it's just a little problem, but there's also an objection. An objection has to be paramount, and it has to be argued, because we're not interested in just talking. This isn't a sport group, like I said. If you have a real issue, it has to be big. If you're going to stop the whole process, it has to be big, and you have to be able to argue it.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about this and see if I can understand a little bit better than, because I got my idea, but you know what? I'm excited about what you guys have to come up with. So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150. Come on back.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
I'm Rich.
I'm Tim.
Join us on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, your home for motivation with a purpose, every Friday at 10 AM, where we attempt to inspire, motivate, and challenge you to live and work with purpose.
And solving the world's problems.
I don't think so, Tim. Join us Fridays at 10 for Motivation with a Purpose on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about, an experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a four-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training, packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class size is limited and fills quickly, so go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
Listen live at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Right. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano. I wanted to let you know that on February 24th, from 8 to 9 p.m., I'm starting a new cohort class. And I've talked about this class in the past. This is where we get a group of between 10 and 12 people together, individuals in business and business management. And we focus on understanding concepts in psychology, understanding things like personality types, that unconscious transference patterns that play between people. There's certain types of people we get along with and certain types that we don't, and what that's all about. We talk about things like we're talking about today, systems thinking and archetypal shifts, and how that all pertains to you. Are you in the right career? Do you need to be in a different career? So for those of you that this is kind of resonating with and you're interested in learning more, please go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Right up there next to my little Fetch Upon ad, you'll see a link, and you can click on that and you can get the whole course, and you can see what all the classes are. And then go ahead and email me if you're interested, and we'll get you more information. And again, that first class starts on February 24th from 8 to 9 p.m. And so I want to welcome back Tim and Dan. We're having a fascinating conversation about sociocracy, and this is just absolutely fascinating for me to be listening to. I'm so excited. So, Tim, you were just kind of explaining a bit on, we were having a really good discussion during the break on what needs to happen. What's the catalyst? And I think what I'm hearing you say is that the catalyst is here, the catalyst is now. For those of you that need to act, you need to act. That's your calling. It's what you need to do. I personally think that we're in a huge archetypal shift right now. So this is a really good time for this to be happening. We're moving more away from that. And I don't want to say Republican or Democrat, because I think the political is just a system of a larger shift. During times of fear, ambiguity, and stress, I think we do look to one or two key ideas that make it simple that we can all just get into lockstep and follow. Mm. Unfortunately, what happens is we lose our sense of creativity, we lose our sense of adventure, and we also miss what damage we're doing to people around us. And I think that there is a shift of very, very smart people who are starting to see more of, you know, let's get creative with this. Let's not think that we have all the answers, because we certainly don't. Let's balance this out. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, really hoping, that it's not going to take some monumental catastrophe for us to see the light.
Right.
And I think that what I hear you saying, and I applaud you for that, is we have it. It's all around us. If you don't see it, you're just not with it. If you do see it, you need to do something about it. So what would somebody do?
Well, yeah, indeed, the catastrophe is here.
Right.
If you're one of the 2/3 of the people on the planet who are going to die of poverty before the age of 40, half of those children before the age of 10, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us in the first world are sort of isolated from that reality. Well, we need to have a crisis to get us off our butts. Well, just turn on the television.
Yeah.
There is a crisis. Let me just say before we forget that www.nextsteptogether.net is the place to go to, because we're going to run out of time really soon.
Yeah, so www.nextsteptogether.net, and I'm going to put that on my website so that you have it along with this video if you want more information. And I do hope, and we're not ending it yet, but before we go, I do hope that both of you do want to come back on, because I'd love to continue this discussion.
I think the issue is fear. I know Dan and I talk about this a lot. I think people are so scared they can't think and they can't see. A lot of it is that they haven't seen the third world, and they haven't seen these utopic communities that Dan and I have been in, where there's people in circles, like Dance New England is where we both come from. 500 people living by consensus for 16 days dancing in the woods, you know.
Sounds like fun. I haven't heard of that.
It's very fun. And it gives you a sense, oh my gosh, we can do this. We could live together without even knowing who's in charge. I mean, I got on the board. Nobody knew I was on the board. It's like, if you have a sense of trust, if you trust that this is being done right, you don't have to be involved in governance. It just governs itself. When it's somebody's turn to govern, they say, you need to govern now. It's work. Yeah. It's not something where you're famous and everyone looks at you, oh my God, Obama, you're so brilliant, I love you. No, it's just like you got to represent everybody and make sure everybody's needs get met, period, like a mom does. It's not glorious. It's a super, super essential job, or else what? You're going to die. You're just going to die.
At a minimum, you're going to lose your soul. Because when it comes to the end of your life, and you look back at the life that you actually lived, there, you're gonna finally get the aha moment that you didn't live it with meaning. You know, and that's the part that I like to live every day and think about. Am I doing today something that is meaningful to my higher self? And if the answer is no, if I'm just moseying through the world, chewing my cud like a cow and just doing whatever I need to do to get through the day, what a miserable existence that is. That's a crisis in and of itself.
Everyone's doing the best they can, though. I mean, if you have a dying mom like I did a few years ago, it's really hard to think about anything else. If you're inheriting $1 million, you know, from your relatives every few months, like a friend of mine was, it's hard to think that this can change, or why should it? I mean, everyone's doing the best they can. But we need somehow to, I think, enable those people who've got this vision to get together and do something really, really big. Something major where everyone goes, oh my gosh. Like in the 60s, you were a little young for this. I saw a little bit of the tail end of it. I really thought we'd be living in utopia by now, because it seemed to me that all the smart people were talking together. I know Dan has something to say about
and
this.
And then what happened to them now? They're
they're in power.
I know.
They own
they're
everything.
Doing a really crappy job.
They are. I'm very
sorry.
Disappointed in us.
Dan, please come back on now. Please add to this conversation.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm thinking is, I'm just all these images that you're saying about like a mother and a child, and the vitality of that connection, and that there. I'm just thinking about if we're in crisis and people with children, what deeper level of investment and potential fear that they're feeling if things you know, if things happen, and we're all children, and we all the children are our children on some level. We're connected that way, and I'm just thinking that like. There's this thing happening that we don't want to look at. And if we can turn around and look at it, we don't know what it is because we haven't been looking at it because we think we're too small to face it. But when we turn and face it, suddenly we're bigger than we thought we were, and we're different kinds of people. And I think what Tim and what, you know, many of us are feeling is that we need each other to be able to turn around and face this thing. And then, yes, it's going to be scary, but we're going to feel that fear, and that means that the fear is going to be, like, moving through us. And what we're going to be looking at is, like, we don't know what needs to happen, but we're together not knowing. And in that, it almost feels like we share a kind of an openness for a higher level of possibility or thought that won't come in until we're in that sort of geometric position where we're facing each other, we're scared together, we're holding each other because we really need each other, and we know that we need each other because we're, you know, because we're feeling this thing. And the when you ask about why has this happened, I mean, this has been a, you know, a freight train that's been moving for quite a while, and so when we're born as those kids, we implicitly feel that we're not really wanted. We don't know where our place is. We didn't get a circle of attention, and we had a TV that never saw us looking at us most of the time.
That told us what we needed to do to be successful, right?
Exactly. And then we were in a school that told us to sit down and told us the right way and didn't care what we thought. So they didn't ask us. So we were never asked. So we said, okay, well, I'll find a way to be here on the margin and not make trouble.
You know, I spend more of my time trying to help people recapture and listen to their intuition than anything else. I mean, we know what the right answers are for ourselves, but we've been conditioned not to listen.
And it's almost like to pay attention to yourself is almost like having a circle of attentive, loving eyes into your center and saying, you're worth it. You know, at least you yourself are giving yourself that value. And then that's, you know, shifting it around. So if we can, as you know, a body, a politic of people do that for each other and say that that you're needed, you're unique, and not only are you can you receive that much, but you now can give that to others. And so this acknowledgement that we give each other, you know, if we see that we're part of all one thing, all we have to do is see that, and then the awareness and the electricity can move through, and now we're part of that bigger thing. And then we're like almost filled with grace. We know what to do. We're literally a different person.
Oh, that's
so. Some of that is just literally cellularly. We're changing. If we can be together, make a decision, do something in this world in this new way.
Excellent. I love it. So now we've got some people out there that are inspired. What do you want them to do?
Well,
or what would you suggest that they do?
Yeah, I would suggest they call me.
Then how would they get a hold of you?
You can find me through nextsteptogether.net.
Okay.
You can find me on Facebook, Tim Anderson in Seattle. Mm-hmm. You can join there. It's kind of two websites woven together, kind of our own little mini Facebook thing going on through Ning. If you already kind of catch this vision and you want to help, there's a lot you can do. You know, we'd love to make this a professional thing. We'd love to have a production company that's bringing together these stadiums filled with people. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have interviews like this, like you. Mm-hmm. You could have more interviews with famous people sitting here discussing this issue.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you. I want you to bring them on, and we're going to have you guys back on if you'll have me, because this the great conversation.
We like you.
Thank you. Like,
can I just say one thing? Just a nod to Egypt and Tunisia, because that kind of thing is happening right there now.
Thank you. This is Walk the Talk with Kim. Thank you for tuning in today.
Thank you.
For grace, it's a beautiful